Greetings again to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are now today in lesson 176. At the end of last lesson, we were discussing, we began to discuss the migration of the people of Edom into their future historic locations and their constant link, obviously, with the children of Israel, as Isaac made it very plain that the nature of their future would be that they're going to be linked to each other. Because for one people to be up and for the others to be down, they have to be together, or else that doesn't happen. For some people to subjugate, in other words, for Jacob to subjugate his older brother Jacob, that is Esau, well, Esau must be nearby. And for the times when Jacob goes down because of his own iniquities, then Esau rises to the top and subjugates, in a sense, or dominates, or at least breaks the yoke of Jacob from his neck, and even rises to the top. He too has to be linked to the future history of his own brother. In other words, they have to be side by side. And where do you see them side by side once all the tribes of Israel went into captivity and after that into the new future lands and to this very day? You see? You put all these things together, you begin to understand what was that prophecy and blessing was all about. And Jacob made it very plain that all those things were going to happen at the end time. That's what he told his sons. Come and I'll tell you what will happen to you at the end time. And so all the blessings that were given to them beyond the land of Canaan were going to happen way down into the future. And so, as time goes by, you have to find these two brothers linked together in their history and in their life, in their struggles. And that is important to see it and comprehend it from this point of view. Then we begin to understand again history in a manner that historians could never find out or understand because they don't believe the Bible to begin with. And since we believe in, you know, prophecy, we believe in the Word of God, obviously we're going to have a better understanding, and we're going to have an edge over all these people who do not understand. And so let's proceed from this point of view. And so as we go into history, we're going to have to find questions, that is, answers for the questions that we have here in mind. And that is basically, you know, how do we link the people of Edom and the ancient land, you know, from Mount Seir and then into other places in the Middle East. And that part is easier into the Middle East because we have a lot of biblical references to it and we brought several cases of that. And before that we talked about the fact that Edom went down to the Red Sea, they went down into Yemen, which is called Teman. There was a firstborn of Esau. He intermarried with Ishmael and they lived in areas of northwestern Arabia. The Bible refers to that. The Bible gives us mentions about Edom being in the Babylon, linked with Babylon, linked with the armies of Babylon. Jeremiah makes it very plain that they went to, at least you know, in his day, he's referring to the people that came with the Chaldean armies, or the armies of Babylon, to fight against Judah, and he mentions specifically the land of Edom, or the people of Edom that were in Uz, in the land of the east. That's exactly the same place where Job was, and that was in Babylon again. But how do we link them into the northern part of Israel, which obviously it's not in the hand of Israel, but used to be in the days of David and Solomon, that is the territory we call today Lebanon. And how do we find them there, and how do we find them even more so from there, migrating into other parts of the world, first Europe and then elsewhere? Well, how do we make this link between Edom in the Middle East and his future whereabouts in parts of Europe, Spain, Portugal, and prior to that, you know, Italy, Sardinia, Sicily, and then obviously later on into the New World? Well, into the New World, that makes it easy, because if you know about the history of the Spanish people, you know about the New World. But how do you get them there into Spain? Now, Spain, all of you know, is called also the Iberian Peninsula. Now, what does Iberian? You see? Well, you study history, you study ancient languages, and you find out Iberia means Hebrew. The Hebrew Peninsula. And so the ancient historians gave it that name for the simple reason the Hebrews migrated into that. And who were the Hebrews? You see? The Hebrews, oftentimes people think only about the children of Israel, but they forget Isaac was the father of twin brothers, Jacob and Esau, and both of them were Hebrews. In other words, all the children of Abraham originally were called Hebrews, including Ishmael. And then later on, Ishmael maintain his own distinct terminology, you know, for his peoples. They were called Westerners, or as we know it today, Arabs. What does Arab means? You know, if you don't know ancient languages of the Middle East, you don't know what it means. Arab means west. Arab, evening, west. Goes down, it comes up from the east, goes down west. So the people that were in Babylon, they called everybody that migrated west from the rivers, Westerner. You know, that sounds funny today. We think about them as Middle Eastern, and they think of people here as Westerners or Europe, you know, and they think about it being the West. But the original Westerners, the people of the West, were the people that migrated east, that is, west of the river Euphrates. And so that's how you come up with the name of Arab. So originally the Arabs were all the people that migrated westward, including Abraham. You see, well, all it meant is Westerners. And then as time went by, obviously, that stuck mainly with the people that remained there. And since for roughly 2,000 years, you know, the Jews were not there in their land, so everybody that was in the area was called an Arab. You know, all Arab means just Westerner. Anybody east, that is west of the river Euphrates. And so, in essence, the people of Ishmael retained their identity. The children of Edom who remained there also took on that identity of Arabs, meaning Westerners, but among them, you know, they are known by other names and other tribes and other nationalities. And only those who study, you know, the history of the Middle East in the past 2,500 years, they know and comprehend and understand all these differences and uniqueness among them. And it cannot be all mixed up, you know, it's just Arabs, it's just like saying Europeans, and then that's it. And all of them the same people, and we do know they're not. They're Italians, they're Germans, they're this and they're that. And that's the same thing in the Middle East. But how do we link them into the western part of Europe? And later on, obviously, it'll be easier for us, that is, to make a link between them and those that came into the West, because that's recent history in the past 500 years. And everybody knows that. And so let's go to a little bit into history. What I'm going to do here, I'm going to read from a book called The Middle East, The Final Solution. I mentioned that one before. I happen to be the author of this book. It was written in 91. And so I'm going to quote from it. That makes it easier since I already have the notes here in front of me. That is going directly to this book. So I'm going to read from it. Quote from it, that is, and then add my own comments in between. And this is where we are going to go now through for a little while to establish this link between Edom in the old country and Edom in the new country. That is speaking about European locations. So let's check now some historical documents. I'm quoting from the book, chapter 14, which is basically the Middle East, that is Edom, and the Spanish connection. That's what I titled this chapter. And so let's check now some historical documents that would help establish the link between the migrating Edomites and the new homeland, Iberia, or Hebrew, the land of the Hebrews. And that's what it means. Most people, including the Spanish people, don't even know it. Yeah, because, you know, unless they study their own ancient history, and you know, a lot of people, like, just like the Americans, they know what's happening today, but they don't know what happened yesterday. And certainly they don't know what happened 100 years ago. And so they migrated into the new homeland that was called Iberia. And by the way, children of Israel migrated there also in successive generations on their way to the British Isles. And they too were called the Iberians, or the Hebrew people. And that's what the Greeks and Romans and other historians called them in the time, you know. The Hebrews, what else would they call them? They were all Hebrews, and so they called their area the Hebrew Peninsula. And so Sir Isaac Newton mentions, you all know about Sir Isaac Newton, he mentions the migration. Now, a lot of people don't know that he was also a historian. And so he mentioned the migration of the Siculi into Sicily about the 27th year of Solomon's reign. Now, why is he linking, you know, the migration of the Siculi with Solomon's reign? Well, we'll find out as we continue. And in his new book, you know, you can go to the library and get this book called The Chronology of Ancient Kingdoms by Sir Isaac Newton. And so this migration, he says, will help, basically, as we read through this book, we're going to find out that this migration will help us date the Iberian migration of the people of Edom from their ancient homelands into the New World, that is the Americas. Now, and prior to that, the New World was Iberian Peninsula. See, there have been two New Worlds for the people of Israel and the Edomites. We think about the New World being only the Americas. Well, that came later on. But even then, we have a lot of historic records. As a matter of fact, Steve Collins has a lot of information about it. I mentioned this author before that. And in his book, The Lost 10 Tribes of Israel Found, he mentions an awful lot of the history of the Phoenicians and how they came into both Spain and many other areas, but in specific how they came into the New World, that is, the present-day New World, the Americas, and they left remnants behind them, and inscriptions, and the sailors of King Solomon also went along with them, especially the Israelites that lived up north, like the Danites and others. That's what made it easier for the Danites to travel by sailing on the high seas, because they learned that from the Phoenicians, who were their brothers, Edomites. And so Newton writes, Thucydides, hard one to pronounce, Thucydides, that's an ancient historian, Thucydides, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, tells us further that the Greeks began to come into Sicily almost 300 years after the Siculi had invaded that island of Sicily with an army out of Italy. In other words, the Siculi, or Siculi as some call them, came out of Italy. This is where they were before that. And that's why we mentioned earlier the knowledge that was in the Second Temple era that Edom and Rome are linked. Now listen, they've got some physical links there in terms of people of Edom that migrated into Italy and lived there for quite a long time, and some of them are still there to this very day. But anyway, that was an ancient stop for them before many of them continued onward to other territories. And so they came from Italy. He says here, Newton, he's the one writing it in his book, Chronology of Ancient Kingdoms, suppose it 280 years after and the building of Syracuse, 310 years before the end of the Peloponnesian War, and that invasion of Sicily by the Siculi will be 590 years before the end of the war, that is in the 27th year of Solomon's reign, or thereabout. Now he's writing it because he's trying to make a link here about King Solomon, the Edomites, and the Siculi. And so the Siculi invaded Sicily and replaced another group that had until then inhabited the island. And now we are going to ask, who were those inhabitants and how long have they been in that island? The Siculoi, or Siculi, as we write in the writings of a historian called Dion, or Dionysus, he says they retreated into Sicily, which was then inhabited by the Sicanoi, an Iberic people, or Hebrew people, who not long before had fled into the island from the Ligus and given it the name of Sicania. Speaking about Sicily, some writers fix the migration of the Siculoi before the Trojan War, and Dionysus is one of the writers that is saying that, but Thucydides, hard one to pronounce, Thucydides, places it about 300 years before the Greeks began to colonize Sicily, that is 8 or 9 centuries B.C., which is consistent with the fact that Sicily is called Sicania in the Odyssey. And this one is this piece of information we read in the writing of E. Guest, who wrote The Origins of Celtica. In other words, the Celtic people. And thus we see a group called Siculi or Siculoi invading Italy around the 27th year of King Solomon's reign. And they proceeded to displace the native Sicanoi, an Iberic people who not long before had been displaced by the Ligus, also of an Iberic stock. In other words, successive migrations of Iberic people displace those who have been already there. The Israelite, when you study their history and their migrations, they've done exactly the same. You know, a group of Israelites is migrating in a certain area, you know, and they get accustomed to a certain place. They remain there for a while. Another successive migration of Hebrews come and pushes them away. And so it went for a long time. And so it was also with these Hebrews, who were actually Edomites. A brother, you know, twin brother of Jacob, and the ancient world knew that, and therefore they called all of them Hebrews. And thus we see a group of, as we read, one group of Hebrews pushing the others. And Helmholt says, ancient historians tell us that Iberian tribes also took possession of a certain portion of Italy, and that includes, obviously, other Israelite tribes, as mentioned in previous chapters, as well as Edomite groups and all Hebrews. The Sicani or Sicanoi, in specific, are said to have been Iberians, and according to Thucydides, Philistus of Syracuse furnishes us, that's Philistus, another historian from the city of Syracuse, furnishes us with like information, where he says they occupied Sicily, then known as Thrinacia, in consequence of having been crowned out of the peninsula, in other words, grouted out, that's an ancient word, language, crowned out of the peninsula by the Ligurians, and Sicily afterwards took the name Sicania from them. However, the Iberians do not seem to have made their way to Italy directly over the sea, but appear to have journeyed by land through Gaul and Upper Italy, and thence to the south, where they have been mentioned by a long series of ancient writers as the inhabitants of Latium, in other words, the Latin world, Italy. Now, these are the words of Helmholt, H.S. Helmholt, in the History of the World, and that's where he presents it, and of course other historians see it a little bit differently in terms of the direction of the migration. And so here we read, though Helmholt believes the Iberians as coming from the west into Sicily and Italy, in reality, the Iberians, that is the Hebrews, were going west. You see, Helmholt somehow misunderstood it. He thought that they were going the other direction, you know, from west to east. And actually, they were going from east to west. And they left their old homelands in Canaan and nearby places, and then traveling through Sicily and Italy by land and sea, they continued to migrate west toward Iberia. That is, present-day, the Iberian Peninsula or Spain, and obviously the neighboring nation of Portugal. And so the long series of writers, Helmholt quotes, confirm their presence in Italy. They do not say that they came from the west through Gaul. You know, Helmholt is the one that is saying it. Helmholt also relates the Sicani to the Libui. The Libui, we're quoting here again, the whole thing is quoting in essence and then paraphrasing and adding my own comments. The Libui too, who once occupied the region between Brescia and Verona, south of Lake Garda, as well as the Sordones, who dwelt in the eastern Pyrenees of Gaul, seem to have set out from that region to settle the island of Sardinia, where probably of Iberian stock. And now this is by Helmholt, from his History of the World. These tribes are perhaps the Rebu or Libu of Shardana mentioned in ancient Egyptian texts. From these accounts of old writers, then, so much at least can be gathered that at one time Iberian tribes, that is basically Israelites also, and Edomites, occupied certain portions of Italy. And again, that's from Helmholtz's book of called History of the World. And so the Sicani or Sicanoi are thus considered to be the Iberians and related to the Rebu or Libu. Now let's find out who these Rebu are and where they came from. Guest, G-U-E-S-T, writes, that is in his, as we mentioned earlier, The Origins of Celtica, or Celtica, the country between Mount Seir and Egypt was occupied by the most part by nomads, that is, nomad tribes, but at the coast of Rhinocorura was, that's an ancient name for a local area, local territory there, was a people called by the Hebrews Arab, that is Arab, meaning Westerners, as I mentioned earlier, and by the Egyptians Rebu, of whom we shall speak shortly. All these tribes, whether settled or nomads, seem to have been allied with or subject to the men of Seir, the land of Edom or Esau. And I believe the Egyptians upon occasions called the whole district the country of Sharu or men of Seir. The Edomites were the only people of that period who could have acted the part assigned to Sharu. And that's according to Guest and his Origins of Celtica. Now, this information does link the Rebu, Libui, or Sikans, all Iberians, to the country of Mount Seir, the land of Edom. Guest adds, Pausanias tells us, that is another historian, that the Libus, that is the Libu or Rebu, were the first settlers of Sardinia, and that they came under the conduct of Sardus, son of Macers, who among the Egyptians and Libus was called Heracles, or Hercules. He was an Edomite, according to these accounts, that Heracles, or Hercules, was considered to be a deity in Spain. Baldwin tells us, traces of the worship of Hercules now were wanting, are most abundant in the western regions of the Mediterranean and beyond the Straits of Gibraltar. Other accounts tell us the same thing, that Hercules was in the territory of Spain. And on the other side also, in North Africa, called Morocco, because on both sides, they basically were Edomites. Also, Israelites moved later on in that direction, and they, in essence, dominated. The brother Esau used to be there and rose to the top. And when you read about the history of Hannibal and Carthage, it's basically formerly established by Edomites, and later on Israelites supplanted them. You know, usually Jacob supplants his brother Esau and rises to the top, as he's done it in many other areas, be it Spain, be it in Italy in ancient times, some parts of it, or be it, later on in the New World. Now, it was always a story between the two. You see, in other words, the two of them are always linked together in their history and in their struggle for the supremacy for world dominion. And so, this is where they came from. And, the Straits of Gibraltar, at this point, where it was established in times far more ancient than either the Tyrian or the Sidonian period. Now, this is what Baldwin says in his Prehistoric Nations. In other words, these people come from a time that is even before the time of Tyre and Sidon. Now, those are present-day Lebanon, but anciently called Phoenicia, meaning red. In other words, Edomites, red people, lived there, as they were called later on by the Greeks. They were not called by themselves Phoenician. And some historians, in their confusion, not understanding the thing the Phoenicians were, the Hamitic races, the Canaanites, not realizing that Canaanites, yes, lived there before that, but elements of Edom that moved up north there, fleeing from David earlier, they took over the area, being men of the sword, rose to the top. They're the ones that established what became known later on by the Greeks as Phoenicia, meaning the red people. Obviously, they would not call the Hamitic, dark race, the red people. So that's a confusion on the part of many. So they really don't know who the Phoenician people are, as they should. Some believe that this Hercules, worshipped later as a deity, is none other than the patriarch of the Edomites, Edom or Seir. In ancient times, it was common for peoples to deify their ancestors and worship them as gods. And the Chinese custom of ancestors worship is still alive today in some parts of China. Now, let's see if we can trace the Rebu or Libus, who are linked to Mount Seir, to the later inhabitants of Spain. Strabo, an ancient historian, makes mention of the Ligurians or Ligus and links them to the Greeks, that is in his work, Geography, who lived near the Alps. He says they lived in parts of the Alps that joins the Apennines, and they occupy a part of the Apennines also. This league was mentioned by the name, or that is by name and geographical location, identified with Dosenian's Libus. Dosenian is another historian. They are the same people designated as Libu or Rebu. Strabo also tells us that the Ligus came into control of all the area routes to Iberia or Spain, he says, while advancing a reason for the war between the early Romans and the Ligus. The latter, that is the Ligus, had barred all passes leading to Iberia, that is the Hebrew Peninsula, that ran through the seaboard. In other words, they fought the Romans, they wouldn't let them in. Of the Ligurians, Morton writes, that's another historian, from their physical character and language, Strabo considers the Aquitanians as well as the Ligurians, who occupied a part of the coast of France, that is southern France, to be a branch of the Iberians, the ancient people of Spain. And you can read that in Samuel George Morton, Types of Mankind. That's his work. Now, Morton adds, quote, in consequence of the position coast of the Mediterranean, the Ligurians became known to ancient navigators before the populations of Gaul, that is the Israelite, the tribes of Reuben and other brothers. And the Greek historians and geographers speak of them in very early times. They figure among the barbarian allies of the Carthaginians, as we mentioned earlier, about them and Hannibal. In other words, they were the ancient people of Carthage, established initially by the Edomites, who were chased away into North Africa by Joab, you know, the chief of staff of King David. And later on, when the Israelites moved in that direction, because they were being chased away by the rising Persian Empire, you can read all that in history. Well, many of them moved also into North Africa, and they got established over there. And that's when Carthage really rose to a very, very high pinnacle of power and challenged Rome. Anyway, these people were Israelites, but before that they were Edomites. And as we read here, Greek historians and geographers speak of them in very early times. They figure among the barbarian allies of the Carthaginians as far back as 480 BC. Thierry, in his History of the Gauls, adopts, enforcing by many proofs, the opinion that Aquitanians and Ligurians were both of the Iberian stock, and also that they were alien to the Gallic, that is, as we know it, Israelite, family, properly speaking. The Baron von Humboldt, George Doughton, and the French historian Camille Julian have different ideas on the origin of the Iberians, yet they all agree that the Iberians were among the first inhabitants of Sicily. Also, that they finally established themselves in the Iberian Peninsula, that is, present-day Spain, before their final destination. They inhabited areas in Italy, Sicily, Sardinia, Corsica, Languedoc, and the Mediterranean coast of France, that is, southern France, and you still see them to this very day there. If you go to France, you go to the south, you notice different people, smaller people, different accent, different culture in many ways, and they're not the same as the people of the north, who are known today as, you know, those who know history and the migration of the Israelites, as the people of Reuben. And they're totally different people. That's because in the south you see Brother Edom, in the north you see the firstborn of Jacob, that is Reuben. And so this is what they are saying here, yet they all agree that the Iberians were among the first inhabitants of Sicily. That is all these historians. And they inhabited areas in Italy, Sicily, Sardinia, Corsica, Languedoc, and the Mediterranean coast of France, as we already mentioned. The migration of the Iberians into Spain was no coincidence from the biblical standpoint. Spain was a staging seaboard, or that is, springboard, for both descendants of the twins, Jacob and Esau, into the birthright lands of Northwest Europe, the British Isles, and later the Americas. Now, Thierry, in the introduction of his work, The History of the Gauls, shows that the Ligurians, speaking in essence about Israelites and Edomites who migrated into Greece in earlier times, and of course, people knowing that they are all Hebrews, not all historians knew the distinction between them. That they were, you know, they were Israelites and they were Edomites. They are the same people in essence, you know, children of Isaac. But on the other hand, they are different. And so they were called Greeks by the historians who did not know their true identity. And the Iberians are the same people. They were linked with the Libu or Rebu, who originated from Mount Seir. Now this is according to Thierry in the History of the Gauls, the land of Edom. As for the works of the Libu or Rebu, history has the Ligurians characterized by their small stature, light complexion, black hair, and a small head, according to E. Guest. He adds, the Rebu are always represented distinctly as white men in Egyptian hieroglyphics. Also, we find the Rebu drawn from the north, that is, northern flower hanging from their necks. And lastly, in hieroglyphic, that is, in the inscriptions of the Egyptians, the Rebu are described as nomads of Senkt, in other words, Sati or Sakiti, which is generally acknowledged to be the district lying northwest of Egypt. That's according to Guess in Origins of Celtica. Now, when we check the map, we find that the area northwest, or that is northeast of Egypt, is the land of Canaan and Edom. It is the land of Seir, the ancient homeland of the Spanish people, as well as those from the people of Edom, still in the Middle East today. Now, where there are people, that is, were there other people in the ancient world who could also be linked to the people of Mount Seir and Edom? Let's find out. Jacob Bryant, another historian, in his sixth volume of an analysis of ancient mythology, states, the true Phoenicians, you see, as we mentioned earlier, they are the Phoenicians that were called Phoenicians because they were red. That's why they called them Phoenicians. That's what it means by the Greeks later on. And then there were those who were before them, the Hamitic people. They were not the Phoenicians. In other words, they're not red. That's as simple as that. But, you know, historians confuse both of them, and that's why he's speaking here about the true Phoenicians, the ones who are really red, red people, Edomites, in other words. They were the sons of Esau. That's according to Jacob Bryant in his sixth volume of An Analysis of Ancient Mythology. So he says that the true Phoenicians were the sons of Esau, who was called Edom, and they settled first at Mount Seir and upon the Red Sea, that is today's western Saudi Arabia, which received its name from them. Both Phoenic and Edom signify red, which the Greeks changed to Erythrus, an ancient territory located in the Persian Gulf. It was also named Erythra or Red. So when you go to the Middle East ancient maps, you find different places, cities named with this word red, Erythra, either in the beginning of the word, in the middle of the word, or the end of the word, just like we find with Dan. And like London, you know, Dan comes at the end. Or other places, you know, Dan is in the beginning or in the middle. And so it was also with the people of Edom. And so he's saying here that the Greeks changed the word Phoenic, which means red, to Erythrus, and which was an ancient territory located in the Persian Gulf, and was also named Erythra or Red, a word of the same meaning. They appear to have been a very great and knowing people, you see, just like we read in the history of the people of Tyre and the king of Tyre, as we read earlier in Ezekiel 28. God says that they were people of great wisdom. You know, they even had, speaking about the king, he said even wiser than Daniel. He knew so much. And the people of Edom anciently were known to be people of great knowledge. After all, the children of Israel were people of great knowledge too. Isaac was, Abraham was, Jacob was, and so it's natural for them to be in the same way. And though there are no annals of their nation remaining, speaking about the ancient land, and their history is very obscure, yet so far we may learn in general that they were very rich and powerful, that is, as their later descendants during the Golden Age of Spain, you know, you can see that there too they were very rich and powerful, and they were in many other areas, and God describes them in terms of the people of Tyre being extremely rich and powerful. And so he says they are carrying on an extensive traffic in the sea, which they lived upon and a great way further, engrossing all the trade of the East. Of the East, that is, and that's according to Bryan and in his analysis of ancient mythology. Esau, we might recall, was a very rich man because of his great riches. He had to separate from his brother Jacob. You read that in Genesis 36, verses 6 to 8. And there you read, and Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all of his substance, for the riches, that is the riches of Jacob and Esau, were more than they might dwell together. You see, that's how rich both of them were. So you don't see one being blessed, one cursed. Both of them were abundantly blessed. It's just Jacob, as time went by, received a much greater birthright, obviously, far greater in many ways than Esau. But Esau was not in the poorhouse. He got plenty too. And so we read here in Genesis, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir, and this is what we read in Genesis. Now Bryant continues in his analysis of ancient mythology, these people in process of time got possession of Tyre and Sidon. You see, that's why we are linking them, people of Edom, to present-day Lebanon, and some of them are still there to this very day. That's why a lot of the Lebanese, they don't like to be called Arabs, see, like all the others, because they're not. They know that they're different. They're basically Edomites, and some of them are Greeks. But many of them are Edomites, you know, the Falanges, the ones who are oftentimes Christians, and others who are join Islam. They're basically the people of Edom. And that's why we read earlier, and as God says in Joel 3, you Tyre and Sidon, well, what have I to do with you? Why are you fighting against me? Well, speaking about Brother Edom, of course the Bible did not choose for reasons known to God to record their real name as Edomites, no more than the Bible chose to record the future lands of the people of Israel in Europe and America. Well, in essence, God was keeping the identity of these two secret to a point anyway, but that knowledge is still there for those who dig very deep. And so Brian tells us that these people in process of time got possession of Tyre, that is the people of Edom, and Sidon. And this is the place that was called Phoenicia. And remember the words of Isaac, by your sword you shall live. That's what he told Esau, which means that's the way he got possession of it. And Brian continues, they got possession of Tyre and Sidon and the adjacent country, which was called from then Phoenicia. You see? So they're the ones in their ancient language, which everybody knows, who knows the Phoenician language, that is extremely similar to Hebrew. Why was it extremely similar to Hebrew? You see, the Hamitic race that lived there didn't have a similar language to the Hebrews, but the Phoenician did, for the simple reason, they were twin brothers of Jacob. You see? And that's basically where you find them. That's the reason also, the ones that were up there, that, you know, maintained peace and did not go to war against their brother to the south, Israel, that's why they had good relationship later on with King David, you know, toward the end. The ones that fled over there and lived in peace with him, like Hiram. And later on, you know, in the days of King Solomon, they even helped, you know, ironic twist of history, the people of Edom helped, in the building of the temple of God, you see. So, you know, all those things are not necessarily recorded clearly in the Bible, but when you study history, you study all these things, you begin to find out an awful lot of things behind the scenes. And so Brian continues, these people in the process of time got possession of Tyre and Sidon and the adjacent country, which was called from them Phoenicia or Red, the land of Edom. And later on, you know, the Greeks also called them the Red People. And then Phoenicia became later on known also Erythra, which basically means the same by the Greeks, Red. But how early they settled here is uncertain. They sent out many colonies, and that is very obvious when you know ancient history, and for that matter, you know, all the children of Abraham were basically colonialists, and they still were until recently. And so he said they sent out many colonies, and traces of them are to be found as far as Gades. Now, Gades is in Spain. You see, that's an ancient city in Spain where Israelites earlier also lived there, and from there went to the British Isles. And so they went all the way to Spain, they established Gades and many other places, and Tartessus. Now this is according to Bryant. Now, Herodotus, some would say, mentions that they came originally from the Red Sea. Now that's an ancient historian who knew who these people are, who are now in the Iberian Peninsula, in Spain, you see. Herodotus, you know, he's called the father of ancient history. And he says that they came originally from the Red Sea. You read it in his book, Herodotus, book 7, and chapter 89. And so this is what he says. But the best account of them is in the poet Dionysius, who celebrates for their ingenuity and knowledge, and he mentions the chief places where they settled, and speaks of them as the first merchants upon the earth. And, you know, he wrote an awful lot about them, about these people of Edom and their great exploits. Now, so far we gather from Brian's account and that the Edomites, who were pushed out of Mount Seir and the Red Sea by David, migrated into the area of present-day Lebanon. And many of them, as I mentioned earlier, were still there to this very day and causing, you know, troubles. Unfortunately, to themselves, among themselves, you know, the civil war that they had there, and then they're fighting Israel now, they continue to fight among themselves. Well, anyway, we find out that they then took the ancient Canaanite cities of Tyre and Sidon, and later migrated into Spain via Italy. The other ones established the Phoenician Empire. In other words, the red people. And they migrated into Spain via Italy, Sicily, southern France, before that, part of Italy, Sardinia, and other places. Many of them are still there to this very day. See, the people of Sicily are not the same as many of the other people in Italy. And so when did the Edomites take Sidon and Tyre? Bryant can't be sure, but other sources reveal the answer. Bryant adds, those who settled at Gades, that is modern Cadiz in Spain, and the remoter parts of Spain, carried that's an ancient English he uses here, dither, many memorials of their original country, particularly the name of Edom, by translation Erythra, which they conferred on that part where they inhabited, and especially on an island mentioned by Pliny. Pliny is an ancient historian, Roman historian. The original Phoenicians, therefore, were the people of Edom who lived near the Arabians and Amalekites, that is a branch of Edom, and intermarried with their families and are often confounded with them. Now, this is what Bryant tells us in his history of ancient mythologies. Bryant also makes reference to the Phoenician language being a dialect of Hebrew. This should be natural, since both Jacob and Esau were Hebrews of the same parents. Now, let's inject here. That's something that I injected in my writings here in this chapter. Let's inject here a side point. Sancho Nyato, the most ancient writer of the heathen world, writes, and there is a book by that name you can still read to this very day. He writes, Cronos, whom the Phoenicians call Israel, you see, in other words, the people of Phoenicia, who are the red people, they call Israel because that's their brother, Cronos, the auxiliaries of Cronos, in other words, the gods of Cronos, the deities of Cronos, are called Elohim. So here is the ancient historian says that the Phoenicians called Israel Cronos, and the gods of Cronos, that is Israel or Jacob, they called Elohim. Information that is still known there. You can read it in ancient fragments of Sancho Nyato by Berossus and company and so forth. And then, according to the Phoenician historian Sancho Nyato, Cronus, who is called also Saturn, is Israel. That is later on, as the Edomites travel to other areas like Greece, they change the name from Cronus, who was Israel, into Saturn, and that is Edom's twin brother, or Jacob, while Zeus, Jupiter, you see, his royal son is Judah. In other words, the names Saturn and Zeus and Jupiter were actually the names that the Phoenicians, as they traveled abroad, carried those names with them, and, different places, names changed. They were actually Israel, who was called later on Saturn, or before that Cronus, and his royal son, the scepter son Judah, was called Zeus in some places, or Jupiter, which is very interesting. And you find this information in Milner, the Royal House of Britain, an enduring dynasty, and so forth. Now, in the book of Joel, chapter 3, verses 4 and 8, after describing the coming captivity of Judah, which we mentioned before that, or the state of Israel, presently, God warns the modern remnant of the ancient Phoenician Edomites, indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Philistia? Now, all these areas are populated, anciently, were populated by Edomites and others, like the Philistines, but basically a lot of Edomites there, and to this very day, you see, remnant of the Edomites still there. And so this is what God is saying here presently at this time. You see, for this time, speaking at this time, though he mentioned that earlier by the prophet Joel. He says, will you retaliate against me? Because that's in essence what they're doing. You see, God takes the Lebanese animosity of the Palestinians up there, and the Hezbollah, and people who are linked to Syria and Iran. You see, he takes it personally. So he takes the Lebanese animosity toward Israel's nations personally, and the hostage taking tragedy, even against the people of Joseph. You heard about the Americans that were taken to hostage in that area, or the great bombing that was there, where over 200 Marines were destroyed in that bombing That's Brother Edom doing it. And so God takes it very personal, and that's what he's saying here. So God continues, but if you retaliate against me speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold, speaking in essence about the future coming event. You know, they would be ransacking, you know, the possessions of Israel. They've done it in the past. They will do it again in the future in the coming captivity. And so God says, you know, you have carried it into your temples, anciently, today, mosques or churches. He said, my prized possessions also, the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, you have sold to the Greeks. You see, the people of Edom also were linked anciently to Greece because they migrated in that direction, and they still maintain links with them. And Greeks seem to be more pro-Arabs than they are pro-Israel to this very day. And also in Jerusalem itself, the old city, you find the Greek quarters. They all speak Arabic, but they're all Greeks. So, you know, I have to put all those things together to comprehend what God is saying here. Well, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph saying greetings unto all of you. Until next time.